Welcome to Beautiful Ghosts. We are a community of people that have honest conversations, open up to others, and are willing to be vulnerable to grow and discover what is beautiful within us. Here is a new conversation with Mariana, Nico, Pablo, and you, searching for beautiful ghosts. Welcome to Beautiful Ghosts. Today, we have a special guest, David Nottage, world champion of public speaking. Welcome, David.
Thank you so much.
You are the first world champion that we have in our podcast.
Yes.
For New Zealand, yes. I was the first one for New Zealand. There've been two. There has been another one, but who remembers him?
You're the first one.
I'm being rude. His name was Brett Rutledge. He's a very good speaker. He won the world championship in 1998. I was the first one in 1996. And unfortunately, we've not had anyone else win it between now and then. So, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow, that's quite a long time.
There were some very good speakers that tried it, but...
David, can you not compete now? I think you are on the top of your game.
With the thing with the winning the World Champion of Public Speaking is that once you win, you don't need to defend your title.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Once you win it, you're not allowed to go back into the championship.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would love to go. I wanted to do it again to see if I was still good enough, but you're not allowed to. Once you win the world championship, you're out. You can't do it again. Ooh. Not even at a club level.
Really?
You're world champion for the rest of your life.
That's exactly right. That's right. I am the world champion for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Well, and today we're talking about overcoming fears. And you have a story about, well, public speaking was a fear for you at the beginning, was right?
Is that true?
Yeah, it was a big fear for me. When I was a young man, All right, then, if you must know, when I was about 21, so that was a long time ago, I was a supermarket manager, and I had to stand up in front of just four people and say, you know, you're in the checkout, you're in the storeroom, whatever, and I couldn't speak to four people, and that's how bad it was for me. The word is actually called glossophobia, the fear of public speaking.
Okay.
Oh.
And I just couldn't do it. So that's when I joined Toastmasters. Uh-huh. So for any of our listeners, join Toastmasters wherever you are in the world. It just gives you a chance to get there and get better.
How long between, like, you know, you being terrified or whatever, you started to go to Toastmasters? When did you start to feel... okay, I can handle it.
Marina, excellent question. Talk about 2 years, because you go there and you stand up and speak and they give you feedback, and you stand up and try a little bit better and they give you feedback, and slowly but surely you start getting better. For example, here's a question for the four of you. Where do you put your hands when you're standing in front of a group of people?
I talk a lot and put all the energy in my hands.
The Latin American. Right.
And people that speak a lot with their hands, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you keep on doing this, people are not going to like you. So the experts tell us that confident people, and I'm going to push back a little bit now, have their hands in front of their body, above their elbows, and you show us your thumbs. So just clap your hands together. Your hands are in a good position. This is very hard to do virtually. Virtually, there's lots of different rules. When we're virtual, I must make sure my face is in the middle third of the screen. I must make sure there's a space above my head. I must make sure my eyes are a certain level. So there's lots of different rules for the virtual. But in public speaking, you really do want the hands above the elbows and show.
But can I ask you, like, is that a little bit contrived? Like, if it is contrived, like, because if not, there's no room for spontaneity. Like, you will like someone who is spontaneous, right? Like,
Irene, you're absolutely right. Now, lovely friends from Argentina are very big with speaking with their face and speaking with their hands. Okay. And I would encourage you to keep on doing that. Whenever you hear a speaker, the first thing you do is look at their face to work out whether I believe you or not.
Yes.
And then I want to listen to your voice. And that's what our Argentinian friends do so well. You speak with passion, and it's for your face and your hands and your gestures. And so we do that. Now, does it feel contrived? Yes, it does. Because what I'm asking you to do is to make sure that when you're speaking in public, that your hands are higher on your body. I really can't demonstrate.
No.
Thank you.
If you can imagine my hands by my side, and if I'm moving my hands by my side, everyone in the audience just keeps on looking down to see what just moved.
That's so true. That,
after 2 minutes, we don't like that person anymore. So it's really important that you keep your hands somewhere between your midriff and your chest, and use them outside your body line. Oh, sorry, I've got a virtual screen. Here's my body line. You want the hands outside the body line. And that's going to make you look.
Can I ask you about...
Wait, one question, Marian. When you said that you have, when you were 21, you realized, I think that's when you realized you had that fear, or have you realized before that?
And I couldn't do it before that. You're absolutely right, Nico, but... when I was 21, I was made a manager of a supermarket, and so then I had to stand up and speak.
All
the other times, I just
You got away. You can get away.
And
do you remember any particular reason why you have developed this fear of public speaking? Sorry, I'm getting a little bit personal here, but
no, a good question. I don't. But I do know from research that the number one reason for people feeling this way is something that happened at school. So let me ask the three of you, did you ever do anything at school where you were asked to stand up and speak and it went wrong for you?
No, that's true. No. I'm an extrovert. I have no fear of public speaking. I love it. I enjoy it.
Very good. What about you, Pablo?
Interesting, because I remember like being 6 years old, and I had bought this magician kit, and I was at the birthday, my sister's birthday, and she was being 9, and I remember having no fear to stand up and doing magic tricks in front of 9-year-old kids, and I was 6, so they were huge for me. But later on, I developed this fear of public speaking, which is one of the reasons I went to Toastmasters.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, maybe as you become more aware that people judge you, or maybe the fear making mistakes in front of people, I think it's maybe related to that.
It is. Very well said. But before I say any more, what about you, Nico? Did you have any...
No, I don't remember having fear. I actually did drama. When I was in primary school, when I was probably around 10, and we actually went on a trip to Chile to perform. And I remember I had quite an embarrassing situation that there was one guy that was, he was kneeling down with a sword, and I tripped with a sword, and I fell down to the floor. I felt quite embarrassed, but I don't know why. That didn't stop me from doing it later on.
Oh, well done for you. Well done for you. But you're absolutely right. The big fear for us is the fear of failure. If I stand up and speak in public, I might get it wrong, and you're going to see me get it wrong. Now, the two groups of people that don't have that fear are very, very young people, like you were saying, Pablo, 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that you've got an ego to protect.
Right. Wow.
The other end of the spectrum is our very senior citizens who are at an age in their life where I don't care what you think about me. So I'm not going to, I couldn't care less. And that's why they don't have any fear. But most of us in between those two times in our life, we try to protect our ego. So to stand up and make it get it wrong in front of anyone,
But can I ask you, isn't that related to self-love? Because like if you love yourself and you consider yourself really cool, like that's my case, and it's not like, you know, I'm an arrogant.
You consider yourself really cool.
No. I think I speak to everyone here, Marin. Hey. We love you. We all love you.
Hey, if you don't, but so because you know who you are, then when you do a public speaking or to a group or whatever, it doesn't cross your mind. There's no failure. There's nothing. It's just you addressing whatever message you have to. Like, there's no failure, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why having a strong amount of self-belief is very important. Self-belief. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people don't have a strong self-belief. And we are very conscious of, like, what do you think of me? Here's a classic. Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. Oprah Winfrey probably is the queen of interviews. She has interviewed everyone from kings and queens to movie actors to singers. Guess what? Every single one of her guests say at the end of the interview. What? When she says, so that's it, we're going to go to a commercial break, see you after the commercials, the guest, doesn't matter who they are, turns to Oprah and says this. Was that okay?
Wow. Really?
Is that what you wanted? We all have a self-doubt. I don't care if you're Hollywood's greatest actor. I don't care if you're the
queen. Yeah, yes, yeah.
David, I was going, when I was, Pablo sent us a little bit of a task before we started this conversation and said that we think about what our fears, right? And I remember that I heard this phrase that said that the greatest fear is that no one loves you.
Exactly. That's
the
right.
Fear of no one loving you, which I thought in the beginning, it's like, well, but that's like codependency, right? But on the other side, it's like, well, not necessarily. I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. It's the fear of not being liked or not being loved. It's the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. And that's what really stops. They estimate, they think that about 70 to 90% of people will never stand up and speak because the fear is so great.
Because of the fear.
And here it is where, how do you overcome that fear?
That's right. And so there's several techniques. And one I will tell you is to do diaphragmatic breathing. So have you ever seen a nervous person breathe?
Yeah.
Say, oh, that's exactly right. They do that.
Yeah.
Right. When we do diaphragmatic breathing, and you can research it, you can Google this, but you take the air not to the top of your chest. No, take it to the bottom.
Yeah.
So my tummy is coming out. You can't see it. It's very small anyway. Oh. You probably wouldn't even notice.
The six pack.
But what's not happening is my chest is not coming out. And watch my shoulders. Don't do this. We don't want your shoulders going up. Right. So if you diaphragmatically breathe, just three breaths, just in, out. Do that three times, but take the air to the bottom of your lungs.
Yeah.
What you do is you actually oxygenate your muscle groups in your legs and your arms and in your senses. Uh-huh. And once you've done that, the brain doesn't release those drugs that make you go.
Because one of the things you see of someone that is quite nervous is that the legs are shaking, right?
So yes. Now, when we get affected by flight and fight, that's the thing. Yeah. The core of your body tightens up. It's so, and what that does is that changes your voice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I stop shaking.
Wow, it's like that, man. You're doing so good.
Yeah, and that's just because, just so you know what's happening, the core of your body has tightened up because it wants to do one of two things. It wants to either take flight, run away from the threat, or if it has to, fight the threat. And that's where we get that. And I'm sure you've heard of this, the flight and fight response. Yes. So a smart thing to do is to drop that energy. We've all seen our athletes. It doesn't matter if they're playing soccer, running a marathon or anything like that. You watch them, they shake it out.
That's so true.
Yeah, they drop that nervous energy because when they drop that energy, then they know that that nervous energy is going to interfere with their performance, and it interferes with us when we are asked to speak. If you stand up, the number one thing I like to say, so drop the energy. So do your breathing. The best place to practice your breathing is in the shower. Who knew? Yeah. The reason why you're doing it in the shower is three reasons. One, you're standing up. You've got to be standing up to do the breathing. Number two, you're in a confined space. You're not going anywhere. You might as well do something. And three, you have to breathe anyway. It's not like, damn it, I'm doing more work. So every time you shower, it's just
no, and the mind going anywhere. Like,
yeah, probably Pablo. Probably Nico. You're getting too many pictures in your mind. seriously, team. Because I've trained people, and I train them, and I get them to conference. Conference now. There's 500 people they're about to speak to. We're behind the curtain, and I say, "Are you okay?" "Yes, I'm good." So, "You sound nervous." "Yes, I am." "Do the diaphragmatic breathing." "I will." And they have an asthma attack.
Oh my God!
I know. So practice it, team. Do yourself a favor. One of the best things you'll do is every time you shower, just relax, take three diaphragmatic breaths, and when the day comes that you need to do it, you'll be able to do it. And that's a very
important. Is there something that sparks that nervousness in you these days or not?
No, any fears? Do you have any fears that trigger the same reaction?
No, I think it's always it's so many things, isn't it? It's the fear of the unknown. I don't know the audience. It's the fear of failure. What if I get it wrong? It's the fear of looking bad. So there's lots of different triggers. I think if you have a smile on your face, that's a good point. Don't walk into the room looking like death. Don't walk, ladies and gentlemen, your next speaker at conference is David.
That's so true. I'm not.
Like you want to be there.
I know.
Faking it, you got a smile on your face, then so be it. That's what I love about Toastmasters. Toastmasters teach you to have a smile on your face. You can walk into a room and actually stub your toe. You can break your toe walking into the room at Toastmasters, but you'll still smile. I've just broken my toe. That's right. I'm still smiling.
But because that smile could be really fake, right? Like,
Right. That's you're absolutely right. And the audience can see fake smiles.
Oh, no. Shit. Exactly.
That's right. So that's why you've got to really, really practice very hard. And to be honest with you, you've got to want to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're being asked to speak, it's because probably you know a lot about the subject. You're a subject matter expert. You've done something that people want to know how you did it. You've got a secret that you'd like to share. So you've got some information that everyone wants. So be excited about sharing that, because if you're not excited about sharing it,
monotone.
But this is the thing. Right. Like, sorry, but because apart from public speaking, like in life it's like that. You know, people tend to talk about, you know, stuff in a fucking boring way. And you go like, how do you think you're going to get my attention? Why can you not make this little conversation a little bit more alive for you and for me? Like, I don't know.
The best thing for our listeners is this. Please tell stories. Tell your stories. I'm a world champion at public speaking, but I cannot even teach you how to tell stories better than you can tell stories. The moment you tell stories, you do amazing things. Wow, there was a noise at the front, and I didn't know what to do. So I thought, wow, what do I do? I can't teach you to do all of that. I can't teach you that. But the moment you tell a story, you do it without practice. You do it automatically. Mm. So for our listeners, what we, the audience, absolutely love is when you tell us stories. What happens next? No, you did that. No, I would never have done that. And we put ourselves in your story and we relive your story.
That's okay.
And that's called engagement. And
Yeah, that's all true.
And David, you have a story, because the fear of public speaking is not the only fear you overcame. You also had fear of heights.
I want to know.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So I'm just going to have some more water. I've gone a bit.
Yeah, exactly. You need to.
Yes.
People don't listen this in the podcast. Just go straight to you.
If there's any young children listening, drink water.
Okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did have the fear of heights. So what I did was I jumped out of a plane and did a parachute jump.
No.
Yeah, I did. Oh, it was great. It was almost, oh, my God, it was so good. But that's because I did that. That's the story that I used to help me win the world championship. I based it on the story of a personal experience.
That's the bicycle story.
Oh, I don't know what to talk about. I can't talk. I don't know what to talk about. You've got millions or thousands of stories, and you're great at them. So tell your stories. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons I got into the world championship. I was able to tell people about jumping out of a plane. And here's the big thing. Every story proves a point. Now, we don't have time for me to tell you that story about jumping out of a plane, but I can tell you now that if you're going to jump out of a plane, you'd need to have a plan. You'd need to have some guidance. You'd need to have some motivation. So if you're trying to prove something in a presentation, if you're trying to tell your team, go out there and I know you're scared, but do it anyway. If that's the message you're giving, why don't you use your story? Because I could say, go out there and do it anyway. I remember when I jumped out of a plane from 10,000 feet. I was petrified, but I'd done my plan. I had my checklist. I was with an expert. And because of those three things, I had the confidence and backed myself to do what I had to do. And I had the time of my life when I flew out of that plane. And that's what we need to do right now. We need to back ourselves and go out there and do it. And so you use the morals of your stories to prove to the people what it is that you need to prove to them. Listen to most bank presentations, either banks or insurance companies. They all say the same thing. At our bank, we're customer focused and we have integrity. Are you kidding me? Can you tell me one single bank that's ever done a presentation where they say, we don't really care for our customers and we have no intention
Zero. Exactly.
There's my integrity.
Yeah.
So it's not a case of who says the facts the best. It's the ones that prove. If you've got integrity, tell me the story that proves you have. If you're so focused on your customer, tell me the story that shows that you're focused on the customer. And when you do that, everyone in your audience is, yes, that's happened to me. Yes, that's right. and they buy into your story. So the biggest advice I think I can tell anyone who is doing public speaking, tell your stories. And the other beautiful thing about public telling stories, and I've got to go to you, Nico. Nico, are you happy for me to ask you a question?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Nico, what was the best Christmas present you got, not last year, but the year before?
Oh.
That's okay, Nico. Thank you very much.
Kill me.
You, for the, I hope we were watching this, but you had to look away.
Yeah.
You had to look away to find the answer. Now, get this. When we need to access our memory, we can't be making eye contact. I cannot be looking at you and access my memory.
That's so true.
And that's why so many people, their mind goes blank, because they try to make eye contact with everyone.
Wow.
True.
But so long as I'm looking at you.
God. Yeah, you're petrified, yeah.
Yeah, I can't make, yeah. And of course, where does everyone stick their presentation? They stick their presentation in their memory, and then they wonder they can't get it. What about Mr. Kennedy's rather famous speech? And I love Mr. Kennedy. I thought he was a great president. I'm of an age where I heard him speak. But John F. Kennedy, his rather famous speech was something like, "We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things." Sorry, Mr. President, the what? The other things. You don't seriously think that the President of the United States had a speech that said, and the other things. Of course not.
No.
His mind went blank, but he was in full flight, so he just carried on with it. And everyone loved his passion, so they just bought into
it. That's it.
So one of the
I best have so many you, questions.
Yeah. Go ahead. And go the go moment go. You tell a story, you're good, because storytelling, I don't need to access my memory. It's just there. And that's why it's a huge thing for us to be able to do.
That's a good one.
I was going to ask you, why have you decided to jump on the plane? Like, was there a moment that he said, I don't want to be scared of this anymore. I'm stick with it. I'm have it. I want to overcome it. What was your process?
What was my process? Yeah, it was that for a long time, it was the fact that I knew that I needed those skills to manage people. I could not be a leader. There is no leader that can stand up and lead people who cannot communicate with them. But then I got to a certain level in Toastmasters where I thought, okay, well, I'm confident now. And so I started entering competitions that pushed me, because competitions do that. They make you, well, give me your best. Give me your absolute best. Mm-hmm. And we love seeing that at the Olympic Games, don't we? Yeah. Give me your best. What's the fastest you can run ever? And we love that. Then what happened is I went to the United States in 1992. I went to Las Vegas. I became the New Zealand champion, and I went across to represent New Zealand at the semifinals in Las Vegas. I'd never been to an international speech competition before. I had no idea what was expected. So I stood up at this. It wasn't the world championship. It was the semifinal. There was New Zealand, there was Australia, there was England, Ireland, South Africa, the Philippines. And so I stood up and gave the best speech of my life. This was 1992, and I came third. I lost. I came third. And I couldn't believe it, because they got us all standing up there. in third place for the 1992 World Semi-final of World Championships goes to David Nottage. And I'm thinking, third? I haven't traveled halfway around the bloody world to come third. That's what I wanted to say. But I had to say, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I picked up the smallest trophy possible. I did not know they made trophies that small.
Don't say.
When I got it back to New Zealand, I tried to get it engraved with, David Nottage, third place. it just cut through the plate. It was plastic. It was,
horrible.
But it was then, and it was there at, in Las Vegas, that I had the brilliant flash, a flash of inspiration saying, these people are very, very good at public speaking, but they are beatable. They can be beat, and you can beat them. And that is the first day that I had my positive affirmation. I don't know if our friends use positive affirmations. You must know of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
I am the greatest.
Yeah.
It's the three P's. I, make it personal. The second P, make it present. I am. And the third P, make it positive. I am the greatest. Now, Muhammad Ali was famous for saying that, and it was a positive affirmation, and it was there in Las Vegas, holding on to this bloody small trophy that I thought, damn it, these people are good, but they're beatable. I am the world champion of public speaking. And that was the very first day of 1,468 days that I would say that. Because it would be 4 years, 1 week, and 2 days before I would get back there again and win that world championship. Affirmations work. And for those that are listening to us, I know you're thinking, no, that's too easy. That's silly. You've only, success comes to people that work hard. Yes, you're right. But nothing happens in the world. Not a thing happens in this world until it happens in here first. And we are the only people that get to put stuff in here. How old was Muhammad Ali when he started to say, I am the greatest? He wasn't Muhammad Ali at all. Mm. His name was Cassius Clay Jr. He was a 15-year-old boxer, still learning to box. He was still 3 years away from winning the gold medal at the Rome Olympics in 1960. He wasn't saying, I will be. He was saying, I am. And if I may just give one more example, Nelson Mandela, possibly one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century. Nelson Mandela was incarcerated for 27 years, in jail for 27 years. And all the time he was in that jail, he would recite a poem to himself. Now, the poem is called Invictus, and I would encourage our listeners to Google and watch the movie.
The movie, yes. It's something.
Yeah. Matt Damon stars in it. Morgan Freeman is just amazing. But Invictus itself is a poem that was written in 1895. And Mandela would say this poem to himself every day, several times a day, for 27 years. Now, listen to the last verse. I'm going to give you the last verse and just listen to the last two lines. The last verse goes, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So it's perfect PPP affirmations. So for our friends that are listening to us, have affirmations. Whatever you want to be in life, for your professional life, for your personal life, for your private life, for your hobbies, your sports, whatever's important to you, when you put your head on a pillow, just say them as your affirmations. I do not care whether you believe them or not.
Okay. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. The good news is your subconscious mind doesn't care either.
David, what you're saying is like, even if I say I am I'm present, personal, everything, but if I don't believe it, are you saying that with time you just convince yourself just because
you... I don't know if you... Yes. No, that's a good question, Mariana. I don't know, Mariana, if you convince yourself, but it just doesn't matter. Our subconscious mind does not make decisions. If you say, I am a movie star, your conscious brain will say, no, you're not. You're Pablo. Sorry, Pablo. I'm sure if you wanted to be a movie star,
you
Pablo,
just burst my bubble.
No, look, if I had a face like yours, I'd want to be it. No, I wouldn't actually. No joke. Sorry, that's very naughty. But your subconscious mind doesn't care less. Could not care less. Even if your subconscious mind doesn't know right from wrong, it just does it.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just do it.
I heard the case where an athlete, the coach, there's an athlete that runs different distances, but he doesn't like the 500 meter. I don't know what race is this. And the coach makes him write in his diary every day, I love the 500 meter race. I love the 500 meter race. And over time, he actually loved the 500 meter race. He became
to be honest with you, I don't know because I've not done that affirmation, but that should be right. I do a little bit of work with our high performance sports here in New Zealand. So all of our athletes that go to the Commonwealth Games, and they're lovely people. Some of them are very young. They're all stupidly fit. They're just disgustingly wonderful specimens of a human body. But they know, and I'm sure you've heard this said before, golf, what about golf? 1 billion people play about golf, and everyone will tell you golf, 90% mental, 10% on what you physically do.
You're playing against yourself.
Sorry?
You are playing against yourself in golf.
Yes.
It's you versus you.
You if you don't believe in it, it's not going to happen for you.
Yeah.
So my advice to people is to practice your breathing, have your head in the right place, and have those affirmations.
For everything in life, basically.
I agree. Look, your affirmations are very personal. You won't even share them with your loved ones.
No,
of course.
No way. Yeah.
One of my affirmations that I don't mind sharing with you because I think we've bonded.
Of course. And,
thank you.
Of course.
I know. But one of the affirmations I've said every day for the last 23 years, I am the world's greatest dad. Am I the greatest dad? There's probably a lot of dads listening to us talk right now and think, no, I'm the greatest dad. And good for them. But I don't care whether they think they're the greatest dad. All I have to do is wake up tomorrow morning and I get another chance to prove that I am the world's greatest dad to my son and to my daughter. And that's the power of affirmations. Power of affirmations.
Mm. And they say that if you say the affirmation just when you're about to sleep or just when you wake up, it's better because
everyone's different. I say mine when I put my head on the pillow to go to sleep. It takes me about 2 seconds. You do know that when you talk to yourself in your head, that you talk very quickly. Do you know that? Do you know that you can talk 7 times faster in your brain? Yeah. Have you ever been to a presentation where the presenter starts reading the PowerPoint to you? And they just read it to you. And you think, oh, no, go to hell. But you can actually read their words 7 times faster than they can speak. So that means if the presenter is reading, and so many people do this, they read 70 seconds of text off the screen, you can read it in 10 seconds. You just go,
boom.
Yep, got it. And so now for the next minute. So that's how fast the brain can read. So here we go. We're back in bed. You're going to do your affirmations. Maybe you've got 4 affirmations. Maybe it would normally take you 10 to 14 seconds to say them out loud. But you're not going to say them out loud because your affirmations are very personal and very private. You're not even going to let your loved one hear what you're going to say. So you're going to put your head on the pillow and in 2 seconds, you're going to say your 4 affirmations. So that's the total investment for your time. And I mention that because a lot of people say, David, I don't have time for affirmations. Are you kidding me? You don't have 2 seconds. You don't have 2 seconds. I tell you what, do it as a joke. I dare you. If you're listening to us tonight, I dare you. Do it as a joke. All right, then. I'm going to do it as a joke because you said so. I'm going to say, I am the world. I am confident. Just say it every night. And come back to us. Tell us. Send us a text. Send us an email. Tell us what happens in a year's time and see if your world hasn't changed for the better because you invested a fraction of a second in a positive affirmation.
You're right.
Compound interest, yeah.
I'm going to do it, David. And if my life doesn't change, I go and see you.
Yep, I'm right here in Auckland, New Zealand. You're very welcome to come and see me, Maureen.
Okay.
Maureen.
No, it's a good one.
David, that has been fantastic.
Yeah,
do you have any, Nico, Mariana, do you have any final thoughts, questions?
I have 1 million questions, but no, it has been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, sharing your experience. I think the audience is going to love this episode because you gave so many insights and actionable insights. So I'm really grateful and appreciate your time coming with us.
Thank you very much.
And I love that you are yourself and everything is fun. Like not in 1 second you lost me. So you are the world champion.
I can't believe the time has gone so fast.
I know.
Yes, I know. It's disappeared. It's disappeared.
Crazy.
And David, if people want to learn more about you, where they should go?
They can't. I am a ghost.
You're a beautiful, ghost now.
Exactly. Best marketing ever.
look, your best bet, just Google me, David Nottage, and world champion of public speaking. You'll find me in New Zealand. I think I've got my logo up here somewhere.
Yes,
Talk Business.
Yes,
so have a look at that. You'll find me. Happy to help anyone. Happy to answer anyone's questions.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
So much.
And now the way we usually finish is we say 1, 2, 3 and we high-five the camera.
Okay, then.
1, 2, 3. Ciao. Hope you enjoyed this conversation of beautiful ghosts. We invite you to join our community in our Facebook page. Get in touch if you'd like to talk with us or be a guest in the podcast. To find out when new conversations are being published, subscribe to the YouTube channel or in your favorite podcast app. Our website is beautifulghosts.org. We appreciate your feedback and comments. Have a beautiful week.